This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm Big Sean.
Big Sean, welcome.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming here.
Oh, it's an honor, man. True honor.
It's a heavy day for you.
Yeah, we've been we've been going all week, man.
So, all week.
Yeah.
I've been, you know.
All year, really, but yeah.
Yeah, you've been having a lot of album release listenings, is it? Has it been?
Yeah, like... So many, like, unnecessary events. I feel like it'll be like, this is the album party, though. Like, this is the album release party. This is the album listening release party. This is the press album listening release party. This is the label album release. This is the one in L.A. This is the one in New York, you know. But it's, I appreciate it all, though, man. Shout out to everybody.
That's,
you know,
showing beautiful that thing. I was speaking to a friend and in Germany who was popping over in London just earlier this week, and they were like, you're interviewing Big Sean? He's supposed to be in London Monday. I was like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna be there.
Oh, so that's this Monday coming?
Yeah, okay. That's like right now.
Right.
I'm gonna be in London. Right. And just, you know, basically doing promo and, you know, touching the people there, seeing what the vibe is like there. And, you know, they perceive music completely different over there, and, like, you know, and so I'm happy that we're gonna go over there and touch the people, man. London is a very important city, town for me, and they've always been showing love early on, so I'm happy I'm gonna be able to touch it over there.
Well, Ali, you talked about how the European audience is different before, and it was for you, and it was a big change, and it meant something different was happening with Tribe. Like, how is London different? How is Europe different? How do they receive music differently?
I mean, I don't know, to be honest. It's just, I just know it's not exactly the same. You know, that water that divides us really is like a big division sometimes. You know, sometimes things could be really popping over here and not over there, and popping over there and not so much over here. And, you know, but luckily the internet, that's one of the positive things that it has brought to the table, you know, is that it's easier to share music, easier to spread it. So, I really don't know what the difference is. It's just, you know, the people and what they gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. I really do feel like they have a sense of, like, hip-hop there, though. They have a strong core hip-hop fan base, meaning, like, whether they play on the radio or not, is people who are going to know word for word, you know, songs that got heart to it, songs that are, like, lyrical and, like, they... I don't know if they take pride in that, but it just seems like they know those words over there for sure.
Do you have to do different remixes for European market?
Nah, I don't.
Good.
Yeah.
That's something from the past. It would be super annoying because your record, as you constructed it, you know, put all this time and energy into it, and then you go over there back then. Mm-hmm. And
they changed that
shit
up.
It was changed, so what was popular or what the people were familiar with wasn't necessarily your song, mm-hmm. in a sense. So it's good you have.
I do hear that a lot, though, still. I hear a lot of, you know, songs that don't have drums in it. They usually, like, put their own kick and snare or something in it, and just, like, you know, their version of it. But I personally have never had to do that, and I don't intend to do that. I mean, I just feel like you make the music how it's supposed to be heard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you put a lot of time. It's your third?
Yeah, it's my third album.
Official album?
Yeah.
You have several more, obviously.
Yeah, with mixtapes and stuff. So, but yeah, this is my third official album. It's crazy, man. It's just like, even since I've been in the game, I've seen people come and go. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And careers, you know, fall. And so it's an honor not only to be here, but, you know, for this to be like my most successful work so far. And, like, you know, I feel like I've seen a progression in myself, not just as an artist, but as a person. You know, I've been becoming a better person and just working on myself. And, you know, I'm feeling really good about everything. So,
what made you title it Dark Sky Paradise?
Man, it really fits the music really well. But I called it Dark Sky Paradise because the last year and a half, after I put out my second album, it was successful and it was like everything I loved about it, but it wasn't as successful as I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? And that was like a hard thing to deal with personally. And on top of that, I was going through a lot of relationship issues You know what I mean? I was going through just friends and like dealing with drama back home and, you know, my grandma being sick. It was just a lot of things going on. It was a real dark time for me, a time where I had to boss up, put my priorities in line, and, you know, really execute. I wanted to execute music that really showed the potential I knew I had, you know what I mean, the talent I knew I had on the inside. And, you know, I stuck to that vision. I built a studio in my house. I put a lot of my money into it. I mean, all my money into it. You know, I stuck with that vision. I stuck with my gut, followed my heart, and things started turning around. And it was a therapeutic thing for me, but that was a dark sky aspect of it. You know what I mean? That was a dark time in my life. But, you know, I added the paradise because, honestly, man, I came from a two-family flat in Detroit. You know, my mom came up in debt. We didn't have a lot of money for anything, you know, for clothes like that, all that, you know, shoes we wanted. I couldn't always get that stuff, you know. So I took a look to where I was and where I am now in just a matter of not, you know, years, a few years. You got to recognize that no matter what I'm going through, this is paradise, you know. So that's Dark Sky Paradise. And then that title just also fits the themes of the songs. You know, a lot of the songs are darker and, you know, I put thunderstorms and, like, lightning all throughout the album, so it just made it conceptual.
To me, the album sounds like, it's like an album of the rap remix to R&B songs like we used to get back when I was a kid. Yeah, because it's this combination of kind of, like, there's a lot of relationship songs, and then there's a lot of, like, songs to women and about women, and the songs that you sample, I mean, or not that you sample, but that your producer sample, sample in the way that they're like really in the clear.
Yeah, like so that guy sample.
Really?
Yeah, with Teddy Riley. That was like a, I love that sample. I'm glad we were able to flip it. Shout out to Key Wayne, one of the producers that I signed who's from Detroit and just doing his thing, man. He produced a lot for me and he's also produced, like, he did that All Me song with me and Drake, and he produced on Beyonce's album, and, you know, he did that song we're talking about, Play No Games, and he's talented.
I have a question about him, but just to go back to that song real quick, so whose idea is it? You're sitting around, you're like, I love Piece of My Love, what am I going to do with it? Like, where does it come up in the process?
It actually came up, the idea came from one of my friends, Jay John, who was the co-producer on the song with Key Wayne. And I think he came up with the sample idea, and then Key Wayne kind of built the beat around that. And in the middle of that process, I heard it. And there was a couple songs similar to it, but when I heard it, I was like, man, this is... I couldn't remember what song that was off the top. I just was like, damn, that's like... For some reason, it just hit home crazy for me. I don't know why, but it's just that feeling it had, that soul. And when he flipped it the way he flipped it, you know, I immediately started writing to it. And it ended up being, you know, turning out how it turned out. So I'm very proud of that song.
Okay, I won't deny it. Half the time you send a text, yep, you know I'm not replying. Just to let you know I'm not one of them niggas you be dodging. I'm the one that you dodge with. I'm the one that you gon' take that dress you're saving out the closet. I'm the one you need alone. I'm the one that when you're around your friends that you gotta put on speakerphone. Just so you could let them know what we be on. Like he the one. Yeah. I know I'm young, but you respect me like a father figure. Young mobbish nigga, probably make your father figures. Shine down Perrier out in Perry with a Perrier's going. Well, I would tell you, but I gotta paraphrase. And even when you trippin', we trippin', I pay for ya. Gourmet for ya, chauffeur arrange for ya. I take the flight alone earlier in the day for ya. Just to beat you there, prepare and let you know I'm waiting for ya. Finally famous.
I ain't like them other niggas. And I ain't about to play no games with you. You know what your problem is.
You know, I appreciate Ty Dolla Sign and Chris Brown being a part of that.
But then you got the Durando sample on the outro?
Yeah, the Durando sample. That's right. You know what's up, huh?
I mean, you left it right out in the clear.
Yeah.
Up front. It's
not... Yeah.
I mean, people forget about those songs.
Mm-hmm.
Is it...
I gave my number out on that song, too.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, my phone has been ringing nonstop. I can't even, like, answer. I answer it a lot, but as soon as I answer it, it's, like, clicking and then...
People just hang up on you?
Some people hang up. Some people are like, oh, my God, man, thank you for the music, you know. Some people just, like, don't say anything. I pick up and be like, hello, and they'll be like... I'll be like, hello? And then I just hang up, you know.
Really,
you're
though?
The new Mike Jones.
Why did you do that?
Nah, I feel like it's way more authentic than Mike Jones. I feel like Mike Jones shit was, like, more of a gimmick. I feel like I was just keeping it real. Like, I was like, yo, people say I changed. People talking about all this, all that, like... You can't say nothing, man. Here's my fucking phone number right here in your face. You know? I know KD and all these singing bitches know me like do re mi fa sol la ti do, but do come first. No lay fees, Kool Aid smile, Colgate teeth. The bigger that I get, the more I need shrinks. I be in and out of cars like a fucking crash dummy. Spending money till it's dizzy, but I still stash something, you know. But I'm trying to get that real, real money like white people with a black son. And first time I met Oprah. That was motivation. Went from standing in court to starting up a corporation. Went so hard last night that we made the morning paper. Plus my girls rated R. All your hoes overrated. Damn. Niggas say I changed. How did damn how to do? Say I'm hard to get in contact with. Oh, is that true? Well, what about now? 313-515-8772. Bitch, call me. Mike, I feel like Mike Jones was more like a, I don't know, like a,
My ex used to call him all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was weird.
What were you about to say, though?
No, you answered the question.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to keep it real on this album, man, and just put my privacy out there for real.
Well, I love this album.
Thanks, man. And it's an honor.
You know, speaking about just your growth and your development, it's been clear, I think, from the first record, like, you pretty much say, I'm this, you know, and trying to figure it out. And you put a lot of different seeds in there that I think for younger artists, well, for older people listening to younger artists, they may not understand that. We want to be really critical of just every day unfolding in front of you and you're not really given that direction, or you are, but you still got to figure it out. I was like, don't touch that stove, it's hot. And he's like, I needed to know what hot meant.
Yeah.
You know, to really understand.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you know, like the album is definitely, you know, I see the progression just like I said, as a person, man. And I learned a lot, you know, learn how to not to mix business with, you know, friendship with business all the time. You learn not to. I learned how to be more patient. I learned to, you know, I realized that everything is temporary, no matter what, ups and downs. So, you know, don't ever get too consumed in the moment. You know, I learned that death can be something to celebrate too and not just be sad over. So I learned a lot, man, you know.
Is fame everything you wanted it to be, being famous?
Finally, famous.
Fame is, I don't know, man. I don't even know if I'm, like, famous, man. I don't even look at myself as, like, famous in the sense of, you know, it's people. I feel like Obama's famous, Jay-Z, Beyonce, you know, those Kanye is, like, I mean... I don't really pay attention to any of that too much. I just stay focused, stay hungry, stay focused on what's at hand. And, you know, I know things can come and go, so I don't really look up and focus on that too much. I just focus on what I got to get across, and that's pretty much it.
So what are you getting, what are you trying to get across with the new album?
I'm just trying to get across that I'm here for the long run, that I want to get across, you know, I want to push the envelope of lyricism. I want to keep, you know, trying different rhyme schemes out, and hopefully that inspires other people to try, you know, stuff, yeah. And like just keep moving forward instead of doing what's already been done. You know, making music that means something to not just myself, but to my listeners, make music that just reflects the times that I go through, the, you know, the ups and downs I go through, because people going through similar ups and downs, or maybe even completely different ups and downs, but even so, sometimes they can relate to yours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm really trying to get across, and just be happy. I realize being happy is more important than anything else, more important than money, more important than, you know, whatever, the house, the car. I've realized that success can only be measured in happiness, because you could have $10 million and be depressed and kill yourself. You know, you see it all the time.
Absolutely. What makes you happy?
What makes me happy?
Yeah.
Man, everything around me, making the music I choose to make. You know, I was happy that I got to, like I said, follow my heart on this project. I was happy that I didn't get, you know, directed any other way. And, you know, it's been times, obviously, in the past where I've done stuff listening to other people. You know, I've had people in my ear and I felt horrible afterwards. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it isn't. And it's just like I made a promise to myself I would never, ever not follow my heart again. That way, if I rise or fall, sink or swim, you know, it's by my own choice and my own decisions, you know. But what makes me happy is like keeping it real, having the people around me that I love. My mom makes me happy. My friends, my girl, my movies make me happy. You know, I'm a heavy movie watcher. You know, my favorite movies are like Forrest Gump and Dark Knight. That whole trilogy. Mm-hmm. You know, Wolf of Wall Street. I was just looking at Moneyball like last night. That was a great movie with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. And I'm just like really, really into movies a lot too.
You say, you speak about following your heart, and that's where, you know, is your drive, and you're sticking to that. You left a message on your album from your father speaking about people failing you,
mm-hmm.
and from the heart, and you can whatever conjure up in your mind, but it's the heart that touches the people.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you put that on there?
It was funny because I didn't even realize that conversation was getting recorded. My brother was recording it. It was three of us in a car, and we had just came from like a Wiz Khalifa concert. I was in Detroit just visiting my grandma and everybody, and Wiz hit me up like, yo, I got a concert, you in Detroit? And I was like, just so happened to be in the D. And you know, we all went out that night, me, my dad, and my brother, just to hang out and get out the house. And so, you know, my dad was in the same room as Wiz, and he might have been a little on a cloud and sipping a little champagne or something, you know. So he was just a little, like, you know, feeling the vibe. And then after the show, he was just talking. Like, he was just kept talking, man. We got in the car, and he just kept talking and talking and talking. And it was cool to hear him talk. And my brother was recording the whole conversation. And my dad was saying things that this is something we should really pay attention to. I didn't hear my dad like how I heard him when I listened back to the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's really hard to live in the moment sometimes and to hear what somebody's really saying to you. But you can really hear it when you listen back on it. Like, for instance, my dad was talking like, you know, I wish me and your brother could just like go on a trip, man, and just like get away from all this, you know, no interviews, no pictures, man, just like, you know, have a good time, man, just us three, you know. I miss you guys, I miss you, you know, you're always gone. And when he went, and in person, I didn't hear it like that. I just kind of heard my dad, you know, talking, and mm-hmm. I heard it a little bit, but I really felt it when I listened back to it and I was in the studio. And then he also said, you know, Peace, Sean, what did he say? It's no coincidence you are where you are, you know. You talk to people from your mind, but they hear you from your heart, you know. And then that really touched me. It was really got me emotional, almost to tears, because he was really calling out and crying out, saying, like, how proud he was of me, but also saying, like, yo, man, I miss my son, man. Like, yo, you know, be a son. Like, let's go somewhere. You got money now, man. Let's, like, go on a trip. You know, I haven't taken my dad anywhere. I haven't done these things. I've been so focused on what I had to do. It's kind of like whack to just realize that so bluntly, but at least I'm glad I realized it in time where I can make that difference. And, you know, I always take my mom on trips with me, like when I got shows to like Japan and stuff. I really don't really take him. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a major part of my life. So that was, that whole conversation came from that moment. And shout out to my dad. He's awesome.
At what point did you have that conversation in your recording for this album? Like, at what point did that conversation occur?
That occurred, like, somewhat in the middle of it, I would say. Like, around, let me think. That must have been towards the end of, that must have been, like, September or something, like, around there. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, because it was a few months before my grandma passed. And it was just, like, I was, like, just figuring out the direction of the album, I feel like, as far as, like, where I was going with it. And my brother never told me, again, my brother never told me he recorded this conversation until I was finishing the album. And he was like, yo, I got this on my phone. I recorded this conversation to you and dad. And I was just blown away at it, you know?
So it's a beautiful, like, I almost felt like I wish you would have ended the album with that. Mm. But I'm glad you didn't, you know, in sequence of everything, only because, one, I'm glad he said that, he dropped that on you. I think that was such a really important message, especially for someone like you. It's funny that you don't see yourself in the position you're standing next to Ye, you know. I'm sure I think you mentioned being at the White House, right? So you're like next to the next to the next to, you're right there, and being in the ranks, it means you're there, you know. So but where you are, and this is still sort of, you know, with the third album, it's still sort of looked at as like that young, but it's such a pivotal album in a person's career. Mm-hmm. And that message, you know, him dropping that on you while you're making this particular record and having your own transformation, I think is really powerful. I was happy to hear that, you know, especially just because I think you got a lot of people love you, man. You know, like, you're making music that is from the heart, obviously, and it's hip hop, it's rap, whatever label you want to put on it, you know, but it definitely touches on the pop sensibilities and is able to just reach across lines where other people's music doesn't really get that far and have that impact. So,
thank you.
You know, so your formula and what you're doing is dope. And then having, you know, you moving forward knowing that people feel you from the heart.
That's,
you know,
great.
You talk kind of big and crazy, you know, at times, but and it's a lot of, like, I'm unapologetic, like, I don't really give a shit, but you know, I'm doing me, you know, and I'm doing me with a purpose that is not for you, it's for my purpose and what I'm trying to build.
Yeah.
And you could correct me if I'm wrong about anything.
No.
Yo, Ali, can I jump in here for
sure.
A second? So with all that, and, you know, I would assume the standard answer is kind of like, I'm making music for, like, everybody, and I hope that everybody would listen to it and be able to appreciate it. But who do you presume your, like, most common listener is? And is there anybody in that, like, cohort that you would be, like, upset if they told you they weren't feeling it? Like, is there anybody you make music with and then in your head you're like, I would be devastated if this person thought I was whack?
Like a person or just people, like a group of people?
Yeah, I guess both. If there is one person that, like, steers you away from some things, that would be interesting. But also I'm thinking about, like, is there anybody in, like, a move toward being commercial that you don't want to alienate?
I mean, it's a thin line because I don't really make music for anybody else but myself, you know what I mean? Like, I only, you know, I didn't mind, like, I did a song with Fall Out Boy and I didn't think any, I like Fall Out Boy. I think they're, like, a cool group, you know?
Many people want me to ask you about that and they were very excited about that collaboration.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay, that song, that's, like, something that a lot of people could look at me and be like, man, that's, like, some bullshit. Or, you know, from a certain perspective, it's not hip-hop. me, I'm a Fall Out Boy fan. I think they make great music, and I like the song that I did with them. And I mean, I've done songs with Eminem, you know. I've done songs with Kanye and Jay-Z, which, you know, is dreams come true. And I've done songs with, I mean, Mike Posner, you know what I'm saying, who is a pop singer from Detroit, but he was also my best friend, you know what I mean? We also were in his mom's basement making music together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's just is what it is for me. I don't really care. You know, people have called me this, called me that, or sellout, or man, da-da-da, but that's just people going to talk, man. And if you listen to people, if you let them in your field of energy, man, they could fuck your whole life up. And I don't like that. You know, I've done that before, and it's vibrationally brought me way down. I'm like a positive person. So I just like, I'll do a song with Justin Bieber. I don't even care, man. It's like, I've done a song with Justin Bieber. And I've done a song with, it doesn't matter who I do a song with, because that doesn't define me. That's just me, like, bringing my style to something. You know what I mean? And,
So do you imagine, like, who's listening to your music ever? Like after you've made it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully just dreamers, man. I make music from the heart. I hope it's, like, people who got dreams, people who got ambition, people, you know, young people, older people, white people, black people, all sorts of different races. I hope people who, I don't want any, like, people who are, like, negative. I don't fuck with, like, negativity. I don't want, you know, I think hating is, like, just so weak. When you hate on somebody, it's like, if you don't like something, just don't get no attention to it. You know what I mean? Because it's impossible to be successful at something when you throwing negative energy at it. So I just feel like if you a hating ass nigga or a hating ass person and you throwing yo negative energy, then you not going to be successful, man. How are you going to be rich? How are you going to be happy? Like, you clearly are not happy at all. So I learned to accept that, and it's always made me feel better about just, like, never paying attention to people, because people got their own stuff going on, and you got to worry about yourself. And that's something I've definitely learned in the last, like, year.
And I'm presuming, I'm going to guess you didn't, did you learn that from music, or did you learn that from your people?
I learned that from myself. I learned that from reading, and, like, I read books like the Four Agreements, and books like, you know, obviously, like, I'll be reading, like, a lot of Deepak Chopra, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, and, you know, I read this book by Esther and Jerry Hicks, Asking It Is Given, and they all kind of, like, allude to that same way of thinking, and every time I, like, remind myself of that thinking or think like that, I always, like, feel way better about life, and I always do way better in life. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. I mean, for me, that's a message I've gotten out of hip hop my whole life.
Yeah.
To just own your own self.
I think that's what hip hop is. It's just like your style, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what makes you successful, is when you're not trying to follow anybody's guidelines. You know, it's not like I'm not trying to be J. Cole. I'm not trying to be Drake. I'm not trying to be Kendrick. I'm not trying to be, like, Jay-Z. I'm not trying to be Kanye. I'm just trying to, like, be me, a kid from Detroit who defied the odds, you know, and had that vision and never let anybody tell me anything different, man. I used to be up in front of the TV when I was 10 years old rapping to, you know, Mace and, like, Biggie and Pac, and rapping America's Most Wanted.
Do you hear things that come out now that make you go, you know, you just start freestyling instantly when you hear someone else's song on the radio or situation like that?
Very rarely. You know, do I hear something, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm about to... Sometimes, though, I'm trying to feel like, what's the last thing I heard that made me feel like that? Can't even think of it. Can't even think of it. So, man, I guess not so much.
Well, usually when I'm recording, I try to tune out everything else that's going on right now so I could just hear my own voice. So I don't know if that's what you've been dealing with.
Yeah, well, I always like to pay it. I do that, and I also still don't want to be, like, you know, not knowing what's going on. So I still pay attention to, like, you know, a lot of people check it out for, you know, maybe listen to their album once or like see, you know, what vibe they on. Or...
When you were growing up, what was like a couple, like maybe give me two songs that did it for you, was like the best ever created?
Victory was one of them. Man, that's a hard one, man.
Wow.
So many, I feel like. I mean, I was definitely like a Bad Boy fan.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, you know, Victory and Juicy and like all those things. And I was also at the same time, that was like when I was coming up, that was what, you know, that's the earliest, like that was like the most current when I was like 8 or 9, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like, that was when my stepbrother was playing. He was playing Fody Water. He was playing like Pac. He was playing Snoop Doggy Style. He was playing like LL Cool J. He was playing, you know, so those are kind of the things that I first heard initially. So it was those, that was that, those type of songs that got me like into it.
So Fody Water, mm-hmm. to working with E-40.
Yes.
What's that like?
It was awesome. You know, it was a dream come true. That was one of the features I was most excited about on the album, was to have E-40. I just think, you know, E-40 has inspired me as a rapper. Just from the flow, how he be making up words, mm-hmm. his cadences. And you people, if you really analyze it, maybe you could see some of that in me, like, you know, to an extent. I mean, I feel like it's a piece of E-40. In me as an artist, you know what I mean? And I just was happy to do a song with him. He's just tight to me.
Now you just got to add to, like, you got crazy rhyme cadence and flow is crazy.
Oh, thank you.
But if it's going to be E-40 crazy, you got to put some slippery verbs and add yeah. some crazy twisted prefixes or suffixes.
Yeah, I can't match him. He has his own, like, yeah, you know, I can never do what he does, but, like, you know, I definitely respect it. You know what I mean? And yeah, it was cool. It was cool to hear E-40 on a song like that, and it was cool. It was crazy how that song like took off, and it was like a radio. It was on a radio. I did not expect that song to be on a radio. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Obviously, I mean, or I wouldn't have put as much cursing in it, because it's like, I don't fuck with you, you little stupid ass bitch. I'm not fucking with you, you little dumb ass bitch. I'm not fucking with you. I got many things I'd rather fucking do than to be fucking with you, you little stupid ass. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a... You know, it's just like... And that was like a top 40 record, man.
Yeah.
But that just went to show me that it doesn't matter about anything else except feeling and how people receive your songs and how receptive they are, because that song was organic, and I guess radio saw that and they were receptive to that. You know, people... It was kind of like I respected radio because it was getting to the point where, you know, I've seen it happen a few times this year. Like, the radio will respond to what people are responding to. Like, I saw that happen with Ray Sherman's song, No Type. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no type. I saw it happen with Dej Lo's song from my mm-hmm. city, Try Me. I saw it happen with I Don't Fuck With You. And it was just, it's really cool that that's, to know that that's still possible. And it's not like, you know, it's
and
not like
Usher a Usher song.
And an Usher song.
I don't mind.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was cool, man. And I love E-40, for real. He's a great guy.
Can you talk to us about All Your Fault? How did that come together?
Well, Ye had the beat, and he gave me the beat. And
Can we take a second and talk about Ambrosia? Oh, that sample, yeah. It's like a soft rock. How Much I Feel. You guys remember that song?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it, but I know it now since I, you know, yeah. I heard the original when I, after we sampled it, but that's crazy.
That's so Kanye.
You on your sample game hard. But I love that. It reminded me of like, it just had like a great aesthetic to it. It reminded me of like older Rockefeller, like when Kanye was doing the beats, and like Cam was on there with Jay or somebody, or Beans, you know what I mean? It just it reminded me of that, but then it had like new drums and stuff to it, so I was really excited about that. And he brought the song to the table. It was just the beat, and he had like a little, like a lot of mumbles on it, like a very not clear reference. And then he was like, "You fuck with this?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's just like, you know, maybe, you know, we should try and like finish it, figure it out. Mm-hmm. So we built on it, and you know, we worked on it together, and then it was like, what are we gonna do with it? We gonna do like a group thing with it? Or is it gonna be like your song for you, Kanye? Is it for me? And then I ended up using it for my album. So
yeah, you know, we could keep talking about this shit or whatever, and go back and forth for all that. You know, that's that new yay. People saying I'm the closest thing to Mike since Janet. Woo! Tom Cruise, homie, we jumping up on them couches. That's a fresh house. Is that a guest house? Your house got another house? Yo, bitch got a bitch. Your spouse got another spouse. Young Walt Disney, I'ma tell you truthfully. If you leave Mickey, you gon' end up with a Goofy. I imagine that's what Christo Carucci. Girls be acting like it's diamonds in their coochie. I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck. With cops choking niggas out in the media. We finna have to protest to tear the city up. We bout to tear this whole place up pretty much. You know it's all your fault. Nobody, nobody, nobody blame you. You know it's all your fault. Nobody, nobody, nobody blame you. Live for your love, baby. Live for your love. Live for your love. Made it through hell and disaster. My crib done got bigger, my women got badder. You wondering how do you get in the game? I'm wondering how do I get to the rafters? Oh boy, I'm mad at titties, records getting shattered till I'm MJ and Magic. Ooh, and she just wants the status. So you the man she got, but I'm the man that she been after. She done sent so many naked pics, my phone ain't got no data. I walk off in New York like my name Derek Jeter, headed home to the D where you know I keep a Gina. I'm the good with the evil. Fuck you, nice to meet you. You can't have a peace sign, man, without the middle finger with the click. When you see us, that's my family to me. That's my family tree. Then my arms, legs, hands on my feet. And I can cut them off for even diabetes. Hit the beat in kerosene and scratch that, I white sheet it. $100 fade every single time you see. It's been a king all my life, so I should've got a Caesar. Somewhere off in Vegas, rolling dice up at the Caesars. Got me thinking back on how I used to roll a little Caesars. Piece of pizza with Tanisha, now I'm with the Boniqua. She finna blow at that. I got your dream girl, yeah, she acting like a hoe at that. Throw it to me, I'ma throw that back. Top spot, I'm finna go at that.
I appreciated him bringing that to the table, you know. And then his verse was crazy. He went in on it. And then, yeah. And then my verse, and then me and him went back and forth at the end. And that was cool for me, you know.
How did that happen? How was it recorded?
We were in his crib. I recorded the whole album in my house, but the parts, it was a couple parts that we recorded at his house, like that third verse for All Your Fault. And he sung a part of One Man Could Change the World, like, at his house. But it was just like, I had the third verse, like, I had a lot of it, but I didn't have the whole thing. And then he was like, yo, we need to, like, go back and forth and do this like this. So, you know, I did a little bit, he did a little bit, I did a little bit, and we just were vibing. And it was a natural vibe, man. Mm. That guy really brings the best out of me.
I love that song. And the way you two sound together, I was sitting there trying to decipher, like who wrote what, how, who's finishing, which, you know, like, just being behind the scenes and knowing how that goes organically, just how, you know, guys motivate the other and just, you know, here's a word, finish that word or whatever. But It was so refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, because it took me back to, you know, the early days of hip hop, you know, just that back and forth. And just the, like, I mean, Ye sounded so hungry on there.
Yes.
Still.
Yes. We both are very hungry.
Yeah. And just being up in, you know, in your arena and seeing him support you in that way, for me, just, you know, from artistic was like, yeah, but just from the business perspective too, it was like, that's dope.
Thanks, man. It was definitely a moment for me. Just like I said, you can imagine coming from where I come from to ending up there, you know. This year I was able to like do so many things I've always wanted to do. Like that was one thing I've always wanted to do, was like rap back and forth, you know, or like really just like have that energy like that on my album. Like I had Kanye on my first album, I ain't have him on my second album. And the first album we had Marvin Gaye and Chardonnay, and that was like cool, mm-hmm. you know, that was kind of like more like a, it wasn't like this, it wasn't like raw
yeah.
in like rap, it was like whatever, and it was great, and I appreciate it, but you know, I was just really happy, I was really happy to do a song with Eminem on like a real rap song, and like it be about Detroit. I was really happy to like, for the work I did with Kanye on my album, and you know, I was just really happy with the work I was doing for my album on my own. I was just, it seemed like things were like really, really like going well.
You know? Did, when you heard the line that he said about, I can't remember
Carucci?
Exactly the line.
No, no, we're not going to talk about that.
Well,
we could talk about that, but no, no. When he said, what he said about the police, like that whole setup.
Oh.
That whole,
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck when cops choking niggas out in the media. We wanna have to protest and tear the city up.
Yo,
tear this whole place up, pretty much.
What was your feeling like when you heard that?
I was with him when we were coming up with that.
Yeah,
and we were just vibing on it together. And when he did, I was like, oh damn, that's what it is. Like, you know, that's just what it needed to set it off. Cause throughout the whole album, you know, I integrated like a few lines here and there. About just like all the bullshit that's been going on, all the, you know, just like I say, being paranoid turned me to a creep. You ain't got that metal on your side, but police gonna work it like Magneto if they need to. It get deep, mm-hmm. or like on the last song on the deluxe, I say, I seen people get murked who ain't deserve that shit. Cops here to protect and serve and shit, but still pull me over, disrespect and search my shit. That's why the attitude, cause bitch, you deserve this shit. So it's just like, I feel like it's kind of, it doesn't get accepted sometimes when you make a whole song about something like mm-hmm. that. It kind of looks, can be looked at as like corny or like, okay, like, you know, you're making a song about the situation. But when you integrate it into like your raps and your concepts, like how you do with, you know, other subject matters like money or success or dreams or, you know, things that just get integrated into songs. And I feel like it has more meaning like that. And I feel like him just sliding that in there at the end of that first verse had a lot of meaning. You know what I mean? So I really appreciated it.
Yeah. It was a nice setup the way he went into it, just talking, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking big talk, but then just let that in. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
Win some, lose some, you just kind of referenced that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Love that song. That's probably that and One Man Can Change the World are my two favorites.
Oh, thank you.
Off the album.
Those are like my two favorites too, probably.
Yeah. What was behind Win Some, Lose Some?
Well, I wrote Win Some, Lose Some in 2012, man, the first verse. And I wrote the second verse in 2014. And Win Some, Lose Some was, it was something that I recorded way back and just, it was a little too personal for me to, I just didn't feel comfortable putting it out then for some reason. It was still too fresh. That case I was caught up in was just still too new and like everything. And I just wasn't the same person I am now. You know, I'm clearly like more comfortable with being more open, but then I just wasn't all the way feeling it. So I had it in the stash. Then when I brought it back up in 2014 and I wrote it the second verse to it and then I put it back in his stash and then it just fit perfect on his album. You know, we redid some of the drums and really brought it out, you know, to the song it is today. But that's just talking about the craziness you go through, man. Like, you know, I say talking about how people, you know, who I thought were my friends coming at me and expecting certain things from me and not appreciating the stuff I have provided or, you know, covering lawsuits and, you know, lawyer fees and, you know, it's just, and it's hard, man. It's like, it's weird to go through stuff like that. It's like difficult. And, you know, I rap about buying my mom a new car and, you know, just so many things about winning some, when you win some and you lose some, you know, in certain situations. And I think people can relate to that song on a lot of different levels. So I'm happy about that.
Some and lose some. I heard that my whole life. I heard that my whole life. But that doesn't make it right.
Okay, you gotta head tonight.
Man, that doesn't make it right. Man, that doesn't make it right.
Right.
How do you sleep at night? Shine, nigga, you on. Damn, nigga, you on. You was a millionaire, but your niggas is still at home. Damn, nigga, you did it, but damn it, you did it wrong. You got time for that gig, but not time for the phone. Got it right with your ends, but fucked it up with your friends. I seen your ass up on TV, touched up on them twins. You don't know about hard times, you clutched up in that Benz. Get tired of fucking hoes, then get the fucking they friends. Whoa. Niggas want handouts. And I only got two. Now I'm on the phone talking to my mom. Like I only got you. Getting dressed up for court, that's a lawsuit. Ain't wearing V-necks, but niggas ask what happened to the crew. Now I'm in court for some shit I didn't do cause of my nigga. Knowing my career just could have been through. So when it's time to travel, management say I only need two. Listening to them when I'm the one that make the rules. I'm just a victim of the life though that I ain't trying to lose. This the dream, I had a wake up call and miss snooze. Lately though, my family been too happy. I just turned my mama hoopty to a new caddy. People thinking I'm rich and I wish they knew that. I've been signed for 4 years and I'm just able to do that. Worry about my next Rolex timepiece. My nigga Tone, worry about our sis Chinese. We supposed to be a role models. No wonder why she wanna smoke weed and skip college. Is this the example I'm trying to set? Are these the people I'ma forget? Are these the times I'ma regret? Living life wishing I could hit reset, but
you win some and lose some.
I heard that my whole life. I heard that my whole life. But that doesn't make it right.
Yeah, it seemed really personal but raw. And I know I could relate to it. I was like, this is my favorite song right now. You know, just understanding and winning and losing and understanding, you know, that you make a lot of sacrifices and you don't really ask anything of anyone. It's just you want people to believe in you, support you, and you open up a lot of doors and then it's taken for granted, you know, and not a lot of thank yous are passed around.
Nah, I know you can relate, man.
Yeah.
You've been in that situation, you know.
Yeah, so, but just from, you know, from your work of art, just hearing that, I was like, thank you. Because I think when you tap in like that and you write songs like that, I think that's kind of like what your dad was talking about, you know? Yeah. And it's the kind of song that resonates and people will continue to ride with you because they know that you're willing to go that deep in, just, you know, like you're a superstar, you could be talking about anything.
Yeah,
you know, you're just talking about, yo, this is really what it is for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like skip all the other high things that we sort of put value on when we look at artists. It's like, no, this is real life.
Yeah, not only that, it's like people got a perception that may not even be true, man. There's a lot of rappers out here that don't have money. You know, I was talking about in that song, like, people think I'm rich. I ain't rich, man. I'm, like, doing all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At that point, I was saying, like, I just now bought my mom a new car. You know what I mean? And just now I'm getting to that point. I've been signed for 4 years back then, you know, in 2012. And, you know, it's tough out here, man. It's, you know, some of this shit is a facade to, I'm not talking about my personal, but just like in this rap game, I've seen a lot of people faking it, man. You know what I mean? And ain't no point in doing that. Might as well just keep it real. So I just want to give people a different side of it and let them know, like, this is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Because you brought up your dad again, the recording,
mm-hmm.
I want to go back to that real quick. Because, I mean, that's almost a tradition. Didn't Biggie do it? Do I'm what? Ready to die. Isn't his mom on that album for a second?
Yeah.
His mom.
And then
I can't remember what song that is. Though.
I can't either. I can almost hear it, but I can't remember the song.
Mm-hmm.
But then like Freddie Gibbs had his uncle on the album from last year, you remember?
Mm.
And I mean, and then there's like Kendrick's mom's Messages. Mm-hmm. And then like YG has his mom come in and record something. And
my mom was on my last album too. And it's just like, that's what it is. Them your people, you know, it's like, it's real.
Is it a way to like give them an involvement in your success?
Yeah, I guess that's something that's, I mean, you know, that's not necessarily, at least that wasn't my way of thinking, but yeah, it is. I mean, they're excited to, you know, makes them feel even more a part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. It makes them more attached to the project. Like when I just saw my dad in Detroit, he was just, you know, he was talking about win some, lose some, and, you know, you could just tell, like, it's like people, they just feel that much more involved. And that's cool, you know, because it doesn't do anything but add to my, what I got going on too, because it shows that you're a real person. You know, I got a dad, just like some, you may have a dad or you may not have a dad. You know, I got a mom. You may have a mom or may not have a mom, but at least you make it relate to that in some way, you know?
Mm-hmm. And your grandma too.
And my grandma.
And your grandma.
Yes, love to my grandma. My grandma was a female black captain, one of the first in World War II. She was a one of the first female black police officers in Detroit. She was a teacher, a counselor. She was like the most important person I ever met. And she, you know, as I was growing up, everybody's always talking about, you know how great your grandma is. You know how amazing your grandma is. And, you know, she used to cook home cooked meals for us every day after school. You know, our favorite birthday cakes on our birthday. And she always went above and beyond, never complained, not once. You know, she came from nothing, literally nothing, and made something, you know. And I'm glad I was writing a song about her before she passed. I told her about it, you know, I was telling her about it. And I remember she passed right, I was headed home for the holidays and I was going to play my album for my family. And she passed on the 20th of December. So, but it was cool. She was like the backbone of our family. And I really felt her consciousness strongly when I went back home for her funeral. And, you know, I really felt like she was there more than ever. And I feel like she's here with me more than ever now. And I also was happy for her because she taught me that death is like a celebration, because she was 94 years old, man. She seen Hitler and she seen Obama in her lifetime, and she was paralyzed in a wheelchair and in pain. And now she's like free and happy somewhere and like out of pain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She a beam of light. So mm-hmm. that taught me to look at death differently. And the fact that I still felt her, I know that was real. And another thing I also learned is to trust my instincts. So I trust that like she's still here and mm-hmm. at least a part of her, you know?
I love that. And then some people don't have an interaction with their grandparents, so they may not feel. But something is simple when she said, I don't know if she said, thank you, I love you, I love you, thank you. It was that thank you that got me.
Yeah, thank you. She said thank you.
Thank you for calling, something like that.
Thank you for thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just like, man, I know what that feels like. And when we get older, we'll put it to you this way. When you're younger, you can't tap into that.
You can't, yeah.
It's just like, you're like, you're busy doing whatever it is a young person is supposed to do. But, you know, when you have that sort of interaction, you appreciate just a simple thing like that. And to understand, they don't have to thank you, but they do. So mm-hmm. there's so much.
They don't have to, you're right.
They don't have to, so much.
Wow.
That was dropped. When I heard that, I was just like, man, she just dropped a jewel.
Yes, that's so true.
You know,
she does not have to say thank you.
No.
Yeah, so I'm glad that that song got off. I'm glad I got her voice on the same song as me, John Legend, and Kanye. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad, you know, she deserved to have John Legend sing about a verse after, you know, rapping a verse about her and then him singing about her afterwards. She deserved that, so. good. I feel really good about that song.
Just know you'll never be alone. I hope that you get everything you want and that you chose. I hope it's the realest thing that you ever know. Hope you get the pretty girls, it's pretty and everything. $1 million Chris, have $1 million dreams. And when you get it all, just remember one thing. Remember one thing. One man could change the world. One man could change the world.
My grandma told me if you write your name in stone, you'll never get the white out. I grinded out that black hole and performed up at the White House, standing next to Jim Carrey. We traded stories, then laughed. I said, you're not the only one I know got rich wearing masks. Where I'm from, I swear they broke. They need way more than the cast. We need more than what you have, and then we need more than that. But how I'm supposed to say I'm tired if that girl from West Virginia came up in conditions that I couldn't survive? Went to war, came back alive. On top of that, became a female black captain. When being black, you had the extra, extra try. Way before James Brown made us proud. She bought a crib on the same street as Marvin Gaye, right there on how to drive. And she taught me how to drive. And she raised the kids, then the kids' kids. And she did it right. Taught me how to love, taught me not to cry. When I die, I hope you teach me how to fly. All my life, you've been that angel in the sky. Saying, I hope you learn to make it on your own. And if you love yourself, just know you'll never be alone. I hope that you get everything you want and that you chose. I hope that it's the realest thing that you ever know. Hope you get the pretty girls, it's pretty at everything. $1 million cribs, have $1 million dreams. When you get it all, just remember one thing. Remember one thing, that one man can change the world. One man can change the world.
I hope that's a single.
Good job, Sean.
Yeah, I hope they put that on the radio, man. That song means so much.
Do you think about that? Like how different voices will sound, how your voice will sound with a beat, but also how different voices will sound in comma. Oh, man, I could be so corny. Comma, comma, combination with each other.
Not really. I remember when I recorded that song specifically, it was just me by myself at first. It was just me, because I sang the chorus the first time around, and then Kanye sings it, and then John Legend, and before it was just all me. And I just, as soon as I thought about it, it was just like, I wanted John Legend on it, and then Ye heard it and was like, you know, I want to help with this too, and that made the most sense. But when I make songs, I just... You know, you just think, or sometimes you don't hear it. Like I didn't necessarily hear Kanye on that song at first, on One Man Could Change the World. I originally just wanted it to be me and John Legend. But when he heard it, he was like, no, I could add my flavor to it too. And then when he sung it, it just was like, oh, that was a great, you know, variation, you know. And so sometimes it's like about that, you know, people just get inspired on their own and adding to it.
There's like a tonal cohesion to the album to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's like paired with your voice real thoughtfully, and I just wondered if that was a conscious decision you were making.
No, not really, just whatever felt right, you know. Like my dad said, man, life's a feeling process. Feeling process, feeling process. And so we just felt it out.
Ali, I wanted to ask about some of the like younger producers on the album, but was there anything else that you wanted to make sure that you hit? We hit.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about what is it? Nothing is stopping you.
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was it to use "Rocket" from Pharrell to sample that?
Key Wayne.
Yeah,
it was Key Wayne's idea, and I love that song.
I love that song too.
I love that song.
It just feels so good. I'm like, man, what a way to just set it off. Like, it's just, Yeah. Everything about it feels so good.
Thanks, man. And just like, you know, I tell the story like how I rap for Ye and then fast forward how somebody raps for me. That Rocket song, like I said, we were saying is so good. And I remember I was on the phone with Pharrell and Pharrell was like, man, we can't clear it. I'm going to just re-sing it myself. You know, I'm going to just redo it. And, you know, we tried it and it just didn't sound the same for some reason. And then at the last minute, we were able to clear it.
Wow. It worked out. That's crazy. You have a line in there. You say, all the faith you have is not all the faith you need.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
I was just referring to a time in my life where it was like, I believed in God and like, I believed in like, you know, I was spiritual and all, but it was just like things were not going my way and I was just frustrated. I was just like, fuck everything, you know, and depressed, trying to just be a rapper. You know, I gave up all the scholarships I had to go to college and didn't go to college. All my friends were in college. I was like in the same bedroom at my mom's house that I grew up in after high school, you know, and it was just a tough time for me. I feel like I was at a standstill and everybody was progressing around me, you know what I mean? And then in that song, that's when my mom comes in and talks to me because that was what she used to say. That was like the same vibe of what she used to say to me at that point in my life. She was like, you know, you gotta change the way you're thinking. You know, this has to do with, you know, this. You manifest what you want. You create it. You can't be successful feeling like this. That's when I learned that you can't be negative and be successful. It's just not gonna happen, you know. And you know that she gave me a lot of books to read. She gave me Asking It Is Given by Esther and Jerry Hicks. You know, I read The Alchemist. I read like a few books. And I'm not into reading, by the way. Like that's outside from like high school, you know, and stuff like that. I wasn't into like just recreational reading. You know, I was only read like that books like that to when I had to or when I was told to. And that was the first time I did that. So that was a new thing for me. And it was just, I really felt like that was one of the parts of my life where like, damn, man, I really grew up then, you know? You know, when you be like, oh, I'm becoming like a grown man. Mm-hmm. I was really like becoming, that was like one of my first steps to like, damn, I'm growing up because I read it, I stuck to it. And I listened, you know, to what my mom was saying. And literally as soon as I started thinking that way, that's when my contract came in. That's when like, you know, I signed a record deal and like, you know, you always got to remind yourself to, you know, you fall out of that thinking sometimes you get frustrated or things get caught up. And every time I recharge myself or revisit some of my notes I took or like really clear my mind and take time for myself, I get right back in line and everything goes good.
So. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you, man. Thank you a lot. Yeah. Really appreciate that.
So you said you believe in God. I got to go there because you say in one song, what do you say? So you're talking about fucking a girl. You said, thank you, God, I fucked that girl. What's up with that, man?
Man, I mean, I know that's not a religious thing to say, but it's just like, that is just a real emotion I felt before. And, you know, I feel like God blesses me. You know what I mean? I feel blessed. And I felt that way, man. I've had sex before and felt like, thank you, God, that this happened.
You keeping it
with
real.
My girl, you know? That could be like, damn, thank you, God, I hit this. Yeah. I know that's like backwards, but it's just truly how I felt before.
I mean, it's your girl, no, but it's just the way you threw it out there. It's like, oh, shoot, he really did say that.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's honest.
Yeah, it's just honest, man. I'm just keeping it real.
I appreciate it.
I ain't perfect, you know what I mean?
I'm not either. So.
Yeah.
I always wanted to stunt so hard. I always wanted to ride that whip. I always wanted to fuck that bitch. Thank you, God, I fucked that bitch. I always wanted to live this life. I always wanted to wear that ice. I always wanted paradise. I always wanted paradise. Look. Now it don't take a lot to make you rich. I'm addicted to a lot of crazy shit. But I feel like money is the best.
best drug. Sometimes hate can be the best love.
Walking in like I got cameras on me. Niggas can't control me, ain't no handles on me. Shit don't get out of hand, it get handled, homie. Got a pretty young girl, look like Janet on me. She a pretty penny and she know I'm doing numbers till we crash up the whole database. I bring it home like I'm base to base. The base closet looking like Planet of the Bay. The names, what you think this life just landed on me? My whole city look like it's abandoned, homie. And we came straight out of those abandoned homies. Every wish we ever had got granted, homie. And I never take that shit for granted. Even when the marble flowing, kind of top is all granted. Back before I got paid any advances, back when my rollie was thinking no dancing. Niggas never did, I slip or I panic. Even if I was a captain of Titanic, riding through the North Atlantic, homie. I never jump crew or abandoned, homie. All the fruits of my label organic, homie. Making sure my family tree got hammocks on it. And that good guy can change, especially if you shortchange. So fuck is my ransom, homie. Money back, money back, money back. Money bad, money
bad. I think it's fine to say it as long as you're like, thank you for making this happen, not thank you for giving me this girl.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for making this happen.
Yeah.
You just said, I fucked that girl. Thank you. Well, how'd you, what
it's
you said?
Not what he said.
No,
I said, thank you, God, I fucked this bitch. I know that's a little reckless.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a little much.
Oh, wow.
It's just real, though. It's just real, man.
I'm not judging you.
All right, good luck. Thank you.
So Franny, I don't think I have anything else if you want to ask about the producers.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe the best way to do it would be like if you could tell us how Dahi Vinyls and Key Wayne are all different from each other, like in how they hear sounds and then in how they like put them together and present them to you.
Well, okay, so first of all, the new producers, like I signed this producer Amir, who did One Man Could Change the World. That was his first placement ever.
Wow.
The intro was done by another new producer I signed named Rob Got Beats from Chicago. And I also put out this freestyle called Me, Myself, and I the day my album came out. He also produced that too. And he, and Key Wayne was the first producer I signed. So those are the three producers signed under me who are getting, like, you know, their first, a lot of, not Key Wayne, but, like, Rob Got Beats in the Mirror. This is their first go-around, their first time getting a placement on an album. So it's just cool to see that. And they're involved in the process, too. But with them and, like, Vinyls and Dahi, you know, like I said, the album's done in my house. So I would just have, like, Key Wayne and Dahi there sometimes. Or with Mustard and Key Wayne, they did songs with, like, that song with me and Janae Aiko. They did I Know. That was Mustard and Key Wayne together. Songs like Deep with me and Lil Wayne, that was Mustard and Key Wayne together. I Don't Fuck With You was Mustard, Key Wayne, Kanye West, and Dahi all together. You know, they would all be in the same rooms at times, you know, working with each other. No egos, which I really appreciate because it's hard to, you know, sometimes that's not how producers or artists like to work. You know, sometimes they got an ego, like, nah, man, I'm not sharing this with this guy, or, you know. And I Don't Fuck With You was Mustard, Mike Free. I keep forgetting about Mike Free, Key Wayne, Dahi, and Kanye West. Five producers.
Wow.
So with all those people in your house, did you have to, like, provide food and waters?
Yeah, a lot of waters.
And, like, just waters.
A lot of waters, yeah. And, you know, I would get food and a lot of fruit. I'm like a sweet tooth guy. I eat way too much, like, candy and bullshit. And, I mean, I do take care of myself. I take vitamins. You know, my mom always brought me up on that organic living since way back. So I eat pretty right, but I also eat, like, a lot of candy. And I've been trying to get out of that. So we've had, like, a lot of fruit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fruit trays and stuff, but that and water, man, you know, straight grind mode.
Do you have, since you built your own studio, do you have plans of signing your own artist?
Yeah, that's definitely in the works. In the you know, I've started with producers. I feel like that's more important sometimes, an artist to have in-house producers. And I feel like I got, like, a really good core of that. And now it's just about finding the right artist, the right people. And it also being the right timing, you know? Yeah. I feel like it wasn't the right time before for me to have artists under me. I'm still trying to get my stuff together. And I still am now, but I feel like it's more together and I could really help put other people in positions more now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we've definitely been talking about and looking into.
Dope.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Franny?
No, I mean, I did want to sort of get at, like, it's, I think the studio process is really interesting to people, but mm-hmm. I think that it, part of why is because it seems like such a mystery and it seems like magical. And mm-hmm. so I'm curious, like, what, like, at which point would you turn to Dahi and be like, I need this from you, or to Vinyls, or to Kiwan, or anybody, or whether it's more of like spur of the moment, somebody just has something to contribute.
Yeah, I think it's just people have something to contribute. Sometimes when they would be like in the studio working on a beat, like after a while I would leave because they got to go through their processes. You know, sometimes it takes hours for producers to figure out what drum or what, you know, like they'll have the melody, but we're trying to find the right instrument. They'll go through instruments for like an hour sometimes, you know. So sometimes I would leave the room for like an hour, come back and be like, you know, figure out what they got and tweak it. But I've also, this is the most I've ever produced on an album too. I didn't really get that much production credit, but I was heavily in there like with the producers and explaining to them what to do, what not to do, how to do it, how I want it to sound, you know, and they took it from there. So I really just appreciate them not having any egos, and, you know, I don't have an ego, and just, you know, we just really put our minds together to get this vision across, so I'm happy about it. And as far as, like, the rapping and stuff, I don't, you know, we wrote all our own songs and stuff, and mainly all the features wrote their own stuff and choruses and, you know, from Janae Aiko to Ariana wrote her own lyrics. And, you know, but as far as how I write my raps, I don't write them down on paper. I just kind of like, you know, similar to like how a lot of people do. Just kind of like you think of them and you lay a reference down and you just keep filling them in. Because when I do it that way, when I don't write it on paper, it allows me to like fuck up, or, you know, I've found so many pockets just on accident sometimes, just like being in a booth and like trying to catch the beat and it'd be like, oh damn, that sounded kind of cool, you know. So that's my process on how I write. I just kind of like write it in my head and stuff like that. Sometimes it takes a long time, sometimes it doesn't.
I was wondering about the stash, if it was a notebook.
Yeah, or no, MacBook. No notebook, no traces,
hard drive.
It's just all references. You know, I'm about to put out this video behind the scenes of, like, us in the studio, how the songs were made, and, you know, with me just mumbling. And I got that theory from Kanye and Common and Jay-Z and Lil Wayne and all those guys do it, too. But, like, when I was in the studio with Ye for, like, the first time, that's how he was writing his music. And he told me, like, you know, you should try it out. And ever since then.
Yeah, Q-Tip does that, too.
And Q-Tip. I know Q-Tip does it.
Yeah.
Ye probably got it from Q-Tip.
I don't know.
Probably, I assume.
Yeah. Our producer wanted me to ask you about Fonte and Little Brother.
Mm-hmm.
If they were somebody that you listened to a lot. He hears their influence in you.
Yeah, for sure. Knife Wonder is definitely somebody who, you know, just production-wise, I was always a fan of. And then I remember where he was one of the first people I met and was just like very receptive. But yeah, I used to be like Fonte, Little Brother, Slum Village, J Dilla, like, you know, Donuts is like, that was, even though it's no words on Donuts, that was just one of my favorite like albums. I've actually rapped on Only Two Can Win before, you know. And yeah, definitely.
Whoa, oh, same old me, but everything around me new. Made it to the roof and still stuck to my roots. Living out the dream, well, it may be the dream to you, but I do everything I dream, so to me it's deja vu. See, everybody wanna go to big deal from no deal. To make it to the top, you still gotta go uphill. From rolling up J's to rolling up here with Jay. Crazy how my life just went from surreal to so real. Back when rapping school was the main contemplation. Ye took me to the Grammys, we had that conversation. So you don't make it this far doing no kind of waiting. And a few years later, leave me to my nomination, and that's worth more than a diploma. Sometimes being your own boss is worth more than promotions. Chilling in the spot, niggas kill to get inside. Spill so much liquor on the ground, you'd have thought my niggas died, but we inside. Yeah, it's good smoke.
Oh, it's great smoke. Everything good. Feeling good. It's finally famous up here.
You can hear the influence, huh?
Yeah, David can very strongly. I can also hear it kind of in like the, especially on this album, like I want to use the word pretty to describe the music, and I don't know if that's like...
No, pretty is not the word. Say no.
But there is like, there's like a fine quality to it, and you're right, pretty is not the right word.
No, I know what you mean.
Like a pleasing, no, that's not right either. It's a, I don't know.
No, I'm just fucking with you. If you
think
it's pretty.
The aesthetics are nice.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah.
But there's that, like, that need for that, that and like, that ability to make that, that you can hear in like, in Ninth and Dilla.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Those are some great, some good musicians right there, so appreciate that.
Well, thank you for taking so much time.
No, thanks for having me. I was really excited about this. I appreciate it, you know. Dark Sky Paradise is in stores. Go cop it if you feel it.
Feel it. Go cop it.
Yeah, thank you.
You know.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time out. Like you said, it means a lot, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you. Come again anytime.
Yeah, I will. I'll make sure.
Yeah.
You know, one of my homies was like, yo, you know that show we listen to on NPR all the time, man, like, why don't you do that? And then as soon as we asked, we were like, yo, can we do this?
I was like, yeah. I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to do it because it's been a heck. This week is crazy because I'm doing some stuff in Chicago and I'm like trying to shut everything down so I could think. But I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's just, you just got to roll with whatever opportunity that opens up. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care what I have to do. Like, let me know, Franny, what it is. So she let me know. I was like, yeah, thank you.
Man, that's an honor, man, for real.
Honor on me, too.
Yes, and I'm a huge Tribe fan, for sure, obviously. So this is really cool, man.
I'll slide you to, you know, under the table. You get paid for that statement.
Yeah.
No,
no, yeah.
But thank you.
I'm sure you could hear your influence. You guys are influencing my music, too.
Is it in the outro where you go,
why you want to go and do that? Mm-hmm. Do that? Yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah,
I had to pay y'all off of that one, so.
Really?
Yo, yeah,
I'm sure
it's
somewhere down the line.
The outro.
Just like on that J. Cole album, the outro is my favorite song.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, outros are special, man. Intros, too, you know? Yeah.
I don't think people think about that. Maybe now more, but yeah.
Yeah, they're special, especially from a like perspective of real like listeners, like not necessarily radio stuff, but like fans and like, you know, hip hop heads. It's always, you know, you ask what's their, a lot of their favorite songs, it's usually half the time the intro or the outro of, you know, whatever.
Good job, man.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.